The word today is baptize. Welcome to The Word Today with Pastor and Bible Teacher Paul Schrader. There are many symbols connected with baptism. Various denominations have teachings that focus on different theological interpretations regarding baptism. Here to teach us about some of these is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Baptize.
There are many different views of baptism within the Christian church. As a matter of fact, there are some denominations simply named Baptists that have a view of baptism that is considerably different than some of the other churches, like Lutherans or Presbyterians, or, you know, you can just go down the line and find different views. One of the things that I want to focus on today is the way St. Paul talks about baptism. And as a text, so that you can look it up and see for yourself what we're discussing here, you can look in the New Testament to St. Paul's letter to the church at Rome. In the sixth chapter of that letter, Romans 6, verses 1 to 11, talk quite a bit about baptism, and I'd like to kind of focus on that today. First of all, let's realize that some people see baptism merely as a symbol. Now, I have no problem with saying that baptism is a symbol. It can be a symbol, and it can be a very, very good symbol and a meaningful symbol. But in the Lutheran Church, of which I am a pastor, both my son and I believe that baptism is more than a symbol. It is actually a sacrament. We believe that God uses baptism, for instance, in infants, to bring them to faith, and that faith is worked through baptism as a gift of God to that infant. But let me stick with the subject of today, which is the symbolism of baptism. Now, I mentioned earlier that the Baptist Church, for instance, sees it as a symbol, and therefore, if you were to worship at a Baptist church, you would see behind the altar, in the chancel, a very large water tank, and this would be for baptizing by immersion. Now, more than likely, in the early New Testament church, and I'm talking about the time of Christ, going back in those days, more than likely when a baptism occurred, it probably occurred at a lake or at a river or somewhere where there was a great deal of water. And no doubt, the type of baptism was immersion. Now, there are some very good, meaningful illustrations and symbols in immersion. I believe, for instance, that immersion demonstrates what Paul talks about, being buried with Christ in baptism, and a new life coming forth, this new life being the resurrected life in Jesus Christ. Now, you can demonstrate that tangibly by submersing someone if they were drowning in water, and the new person coming forth and breaking through back again up to the top of the water where they could breathe the air again, breaking that through as a new life, a new person. And that's what Paul talks about very much in this sixth chapter of Romans. Now, I don't know if he's necessarily referring to immersion there, but it wouldn't surprise me if he were. The key point that he is making is, whether you want to look at it as a symbolism or not, the facts are that when you are baptized, you have been brought into the life of Jesus Christ and therefore are crucified with him when he died. Your sinful nature, your sinfulness was taken care of by Jesus Christ when he died in our place upon the cross. And so the full meaning of dying with Christ or being buried with Christ is referring to the sinful nature which every human being has when they're brought into this world. That's why even a little infant baby born into the human race has sin. There is no such thing as a perfect human being. We're all imperfect because of sin. Now, when Paul is talking about this, he says, now, if we are dead to sin in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, if we have died with Christ, so to speak, in payment for our sins, Christ died in our place, and now if we are given the benefit of that, so also we will have the benefit of his resurrection from the dead. And there is a new life. As a matter of fact, in the early New Testament church, this symbolism was stressed in a number of ways. And by the way, not only did the Christian church baptize, but also the Jewish people in Judaism, they also baptized. Also the Greek, we would say cults, C-U-L-T-S, the Greek organizations also had a type of baptism. As a matter of fact, when they baptized somebody, they dug a hole, and the person was put into that hole, and they were buried up to their neck. Just their head was allowed to stick out. That was the symbolism for them, that this person was dead and buried, and a new person was taking place. Now, they didn't mean it spiritually. They were looking at it organizationally, or I guess you could say traditionally. And yet, that symbolism was there, and everyone who read this letter from St. Paul, everyone knew and understood what he was saying. He was saying, now, if we have been dead and buried with Christ in his crucifixion and in his death, so now also we should be resurrected through Jesus Christ. Through his resurrection, he rose from the dead for our salvation, so that we could have the gift of eternal life. And therefore, we should be dead to sin and alive to Christ. Do you see how beautiful this is? Now, it's much more than a symbol, as I started at the beginning of the program to say. We believe that the Holy Spirit actually converts through baptism, and therefore we believe that this new birth, this being born again that the New Testament talks about, is involved also with baptism. And so this new person should be dead to sin. Let's focus on that for a minute. We know that all the lust and coveting that goes on in the world around us is going to try to influence our old sinful nature. Luther used to call that the old sinful old Adam, the old man that had to be crucified and killed, or if you were talking about baptism, had to be drowned, and that a new man would come forth. As a matter of fact, referring back to the ancient Lutheran church, to the beginning of that denomination, Luther said, a good idea to symbolize what baptism is doing is that while the little baby is being brought up to be baptized by the pastor, there should be a little salt rubbed on the lips of the infant and a little salt put on the tongue. And of course, this is a horrible experience for the baby, and they began to yell and scream, and it's extremely negative. Well, that was the symbolism of the old sinful nature. And then right after the baptism, the pastor had a little bottle of honey, and he would spread some honey on the lips of the infant, of the little baby, and put a little honey on the tongue. And of course, the baby would immediately shut up, and the baby would stop crying, and the baby would be very content with this sweet tasting honey. What a difference, what a great joy. And that would symbolize the new life, the person that had been washed free of their sins, and the gift of the Holy Spirit working in their heart and life to bring them into a new relationship with God called born again, or the second birth. And so you can see how these symbols had great meaning to the people. And you can see also what Paul is talking about here when he says, your life now is not that of the sinful old man, the sinful nature, human nature before baptism. That would be corrupted by all the sensual lusts and everything going on in the world around us. Just picture, for instance, a prostitute or a very voluptuous woman walking by, any man or woman, and the temptations of the flesh, normally we say lust, the lust of the flesh, would be there and the sinful nature would find itself drawn into sin. Now, what Paul is saying here is, if you're dead to sin and you're a corpse, let's just picture a corpse lying there on the floor, dead. If that same voluptuous temptation were to walk by, that corpse would not respond. There would be no ideas there. There would be no intent there. There'd be no looking or lusting there because the corpse is dead. And that's what Paul's talking about here. We are dead to sin. And so this new person now, who has the gift of the Holy Spirit, who's been converted, who has become a child of God, who has been born again, this new person now is living in a different way, different goals, different ambitions, different ideas, different thoughts. It is totally a new person, not just symbolically, but actually a new person with Jesus Christ living in them. And this is what Paul is saying in the sixth chapter of his letter to the church at Rome. Do not live as though you're still in sin. You have been redeemed by Jesus crucified. He died for you and took the price of the judgment of your sin upon himself. Live instead as a new person in whom Jesus Christ has been born, and in whom you have the gift of eternal life, and live like that, dead to sin, alive to God in Christ Jesus, so that your attitudes, your language, your conduct, everything about yourself will be new. This is the beautiful, beautiful illustration that Paul is trying to get the Christian church in Rome to understand and live. Don't live in your sinful nature anymore. That's dead and past. That has been destroyed by Jesus Christ. It can still have a shadow of a meaning in your life, but not to rule you or govern you. You now have Christ living in you. Live to the glory of God.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We always appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We would really enjoy hearing from you, so why don't you take a moment and write us a note today? And when you write, be sure to request the booklet by Pastor Paul Schrader entitled Salvation. This important booklet is perfect for you or for a friend. As the title suggests, salvation addresses one of the central themes of Christianity, the salvation brought through Jesus Christ. Ask for your free copy when you write to us at The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. That's The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. Please remember that your financial gift helps this program to stay on the air. Also, your free will offerings help us add new stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. You may be interested to know that we also broadcast in 46 foreign languages. Please pray that God will help us continue to expand. Once again, our address is The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. That's The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. Every week at this time, we bring you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your life. We hope you'll join us again next week for The Word Today.